this is your Polycast for Monday, October 27th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a contentious U.S. Senate debate, early voting is underway, and Governor Dayton talks about MNsure rates. Election Day is just 8 days away. That's when Minnesotans will decide whether DFL Senator Al Franken should serve a second term or whether Republican businessman Mike McFadden should take Franken's place in Washington. Yesterday, during their second one-on-one debate, Franken and McFadden frequently interrupted each other as they argued about national security, health care, partisanship, and McFadden's business record. Mark Zdechlik has more.
WCCO Television sponsored the latest Franken-McFadden debate, a free-flowing conversation with no opening and closing statements, timekeepers, or formal rebuttals. Both candidates took advantage of the loose rules, often interrupting one another, sometimes almost shouting to make their points, as moderators Pat Kessler and Esme Murphy tried to keep the discussion on track. They began with how to mitigate the threat of Ebola. McFadden supports banning travelers from countries hit hardest by the outbreak. Franken talked about the response in Dallas being unacceptable and spoke broadly about efforts to keep Ebola at bay before finally answering the yes or no question with a sort of maybe.
I have nothing against a travel ban from West Africa. What I'm saying is that is totally insufficient.
Because, Franken said, so many travelers come indirectly to the U.S., McFadden pounced on Franken's long-winded answer.
I just listened to both of you ask Al Franken three times what his answer was, and he didn't answer it. And that is the problem with politics right now. People want straight talk.
McFadden reiterated his claim that the Affordable Care Act is a train wreck. Franken said McFadden's call to repeal Obamacare and replace it with state solutions that would guarantee popular benefits but not mandate everyone buy insurance was unworkable. And Franken said even if it were doable, getting the sharply divided Congress to agree on an alternative to Obamacare would be all but impossible. On foreign affairs, McFadden said the world has become more dangerous under the Obama administration, and he hammered Franken's voting record of supporting the Democratic president 97% of the time.
I cannot stress strongly enough how disappointed I have been, Al, with President Obama's foreign policy or lack of it, and your support of it.
Franken called the 97% figure misleading, and he cited examples of his work with Republicans. In response to McFadden's claim President Obama lacked leadership for threatening and then failing to act against Syria more than a year ago when it was using chemical weapons against its own citizens, Franken lambasted McFadden for avoiding questions at the time.
When Assad used chemical weapons, every Republican candidate for the Senate was asked by Minnesota Public Radio what choice they would make, what they would do. Everyone answered but Mr. McFadden. He ducked. And the reason he ducked was because it was a difficult political decision.
I didn't duck, and let me answer that question.
McFadden elaborated.
We get asked questions, Esme and Pat, all the time on issues. Sometimes we answer, sometimes we don't.
In a rare moment of agreement, Franken and McFadden lamented the stalemate in Washington.
On President Obama, I had high hopes when he came in. I've been disappointed. I've been disappointed in his inability to deal with this gridlock. But I've also been disappointed in the gridlock that's been created, especially by the Tea Party.
Now, let me talk about gridlock for a minute, because you made a comment, Esme, to Al Franken, that his party was the party of gridlock. The Republicans and the Democrats, my party has to take blame for this.
Franken and McFadden wrapped up their debate back in argument mode over Franken's latest TV commercial. The ad claims that when McFadden was a top executive of Lazard Middle Market 5 years ago, the company was part of a deal that cost 400 people their jobs. McFadden said the claim was bogus. Franken responded that the name of the company in question was listed on Lazard's website until the campaign ad started airing last week.
The firm that I run had nothing to do with that.
Then why was it on your website for a year and a half?
With the inversion.
Franken and McFadden are scheduled to meet for one more debate. It will take place at the Fitzgerald Theater in downtown St. Paul Sunday. Mark Zdechlik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
For the first time, Minneapolis residents were able to vote on a Sunday. And as Matt Sepik reports, community groups and African American churches organized a get-out-the-vote effort yesterday.
A new state law allows Minnesotans to vote absentee without having to give a reason. In Minneapolis, voting booths have been set up in the City Hall Rotunda since last Monday. Shalon Wilson with the group Neighborhoods Organizing for Change helped several African-American churches with an effort they called Souls to the Polls. Wilson says no excuse absentee voting is important, especially for people with hectic work schedules who can't always get to the polls on a Tuesday.
I think more people will definitely get out and vote, and I also think it brings attention to the act of voting and how important it is.
City Hall will remain open for absentee voting until Monday, November 3rd, the day before Election Day. That includes all day Saturday as well as next Sunday afternoon. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
Governor Mark Dayton has reacted to new criticism about MNsure rates and talked for the first time about a Republican attack ad that party leaders had to apologize for. His Republican opponent, Jeff Johnson, isn't letting up on Dayton, whom he says is deliberately misleading people about how much insurance costs are going up on the health care exchange. Tom Scheck reports.
Over the past month, Republicans have criticized both Governor Dayton and the State Commerce Department for announcing that the average rate increase for health insurance on MNsure will be 4.5% next year. Republicans disputed that figure, saying the increase is actually much higher. Republican claims were bolstered in recent days when outside analysts suggested that calculating the average in other ways puts the increase at more than 10%. Talking to reporters at a campaign stop in St. Cloud, Dayton said he's standing behind his Commerce Department's math.
I maintain that we said it honestly and straightforward. I said that you take the four plans that are going into next year, and their average increase is 4.5%.
Dayton also said he did not personally pressure the HMO, preferred one to lower its rates before it started selling in the exchange. That HMO had the largest number of private enrollees in MNsure and offered the lowest rates this year. But preferred one opted not to sell policies on the exchange next year. Officials at the health plan aren't commenting, but Dayton called it a business decision and emphasized that the Commerce Commissioner can negotiate with HMOs after they propose their initial rates. And despite calling the rollout of the MNsure website the biggest disappointment of his first term, Dayton said the program is affordable and doing good things.
You can slice and dice the numbers to come up with different results, but some people say weighted average, but a weighted average is an average of what's happening this year. That's not representative of what's going to happen next year, especially with the volatility and going from the first to second year of the program. So, you know, people will make up, well, we still have the lowest rates of any state in the nation from what the last report I've seen.
I think he's violating the trust of Minnesotans by continuing to not just be honest with them and straightforward that those rates are about to spike.
Dayton's Republican opponent, Jeff Johnson, has been working hard to make MNsure a campaign issue. He and other Republicans across the state say the botched rollout and the costs have been a disaster for Minnesota. As for the proposed rate increase, Johnson said Dayton is lying.
The way they did it was extremely deceptive and false. And the fact that even though, once again, pretty much every other source says it's false, that he continues to claim that that 4.5% number is correct is baffling to me because it's not.
Johnson said if he's elected, he'll seek a waiver from the federal government to opt out of the exchange so the state can build its own program. Dayton said apart from his call for a waiver, Johnson hasn't offered any concrete alternatives to MNsure. While Republicans are targeting Dayton on MNsure, they're still explaining a problem of their own. The Republican Party of Minnesota decided to change a TV attack ad against Dayton after a Starbucks woman complained about the use of her dead grandson's picture in the ad. The ad featured Eric Dean, a 4-year-old killed in 2013, to try to blame Dayton for a breakdown in child protection services. Party Chair Keith Downey could not be reached for comment, but he told WCCO Radio that he's responsible for the ad. He said he apologized to the boy's grandmother, Yvonne Dean.
I think she understood that there was no, ill intent in this at all. And she knew very quickly that we were willing to figure out whatever it was that she would be comfortable with to make sure that their family didn't go through anything more just because of our attempt to shine a light on this issue.
Johnson said he doesn't know if the backlash over the ad will hurt his campaign, but he said he's thankful the party changed it. For his part, Dayton said little about the controversy.
I thought it was a terrible ad. I'm not going to say more than that. Families ask that we respect their privacy. I think that's what we should do.
Dayton and Johnson are scheduled to debate once more a week from today. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Cloud.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.